I'm going to be reading from Jonah, starting from verse 17 of chapter 1, and then reading through verse two, chapter 2. So Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's fine. She doesn't know, Jackie. Right. Great. Thank you very much, Eileen. We are going to be looking at that now together now. So let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help. Father God, we thank you that in the stress of this morning, that you can still be at work in our midst through our singing, through our prayers, and through your word. And we pray, Father, that your spirit will be at work now as we look at Jonah chapter 2 together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, life sometimes goes wrong, doesn't it, as we've seen this morning. But when life goes wrong in bigger ways, who do people look to save them? I mean, finances crash for somebody, and the grown-up kids, they might look to Social Security, or they might look to the bank of mum and dad to save them. A health scare rears its ugly head, and we turn to the NHS. A global pandemic hits, and we look to the scientists. Will they save us with a vaccine? And there's much to be thankful about in those things I've just mentioned, isn't there? What about the most terrible thing that we can imagine that might happen to us? The worst thing. Well, that is coming face to face with God in judgment. That time when we have to give an account of our life, our decisions and thoughts and actions to the God of the universe. And he knows it all before we even say a word. But he asks, and as we talk and we sort of give out the good things, of course, there is, but there's plenty of not so good, or just downright evil. And we come out with the excuses, and we know they sound hollow and empty, even as we mutter them before God time and time again. They're just lame. Life has gone wrong, but we've been called to account by God himself. And who will save us then from what we deserve? Well, we're back in Jonah this morning. And back in chapter 1, we basically saw how Jonah rejected God's command and went in the opposite direction as quickly as possible in a mad dash to try to escape God's presence, or so he thinks. Excuse me. And the rest of that chapter, it shows how God's completely in control of the situation, how his firm but gracious hand is at work in Jonah's life, but also in the life of others as well. For example, please look at me at chapter 1 and verse 4. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. God wasn't letting go of Jonah. He wasn't letting Jonah get away with his disobedience. And he controls nature to bring Jonah to heel. And as we saw last week, the end result is that Jonah is chucked overboard into a raging sea in verse 15. God is in charge. His purposes cannot be thwarted. And as we left, if you like, Jonah bobbing up and down in the sea, the question of salvation is front and center. What's going to happen to him? But before we get there, we need to get something very clear in our minds, and that's my first point this morning. And that's the reality of the Lord's judgment. Now, mate, as we get into chapter 2, yes, Jonah's in the belly of the fish, and we're going to look at this prayer in a moment. But before we do so, actually, some people actually dismiss the idea that Jonah could survive in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. And at one level, in normal circumstances, I would agree. You know, how can that happen? But this wasn't normal. God was involved. God, who made the world by just speaking. God, who could walk on water and control the calm a storm. Who could stop the sun moving. Who beat death itself. Ensuring that Jonah could survive in a large fish for 3 days and three nights, well, that was like child's play for God. So asking the question, can miracles like this really happen? I actually would suggest it's the wrong question. The question should be, is God real? Because if he is, miracles like Jonah and many others, well, they make perfect sense. I would dare even go as far to say as even logical. If God exists, all these miraculous things are easily possible. So anyway, Jonah's in the fish, and he prays, verse 2. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. And from the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help." Jonah called, and God heard. And we'll come back to that in a bit in a moment. But let's now, for the moment, just continue from verse 3. And as we're reading to verse 3, there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction to what we saw last week. Verse 3. "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me, all your waves and breakers swept over me." Who hurled Jonah into the deep? Actually, if we look back in chapter 1, we thought it was the sailors who chucked Jonah in. But clearly at this point, it's not the sailors, and Jonah's speaking, and he's speaking to God. It was God who had him thrown into the sea. It was God's waves and breakers that swept over Jonah. It was God who was once again in control. But as of yet, we haven't seen the purpose behind this control. You know, I mean, we saw God's gracious hand last week, but what was the ultimate thing? Well, was God chucking Jonah into the sea just so he could save him? I'm just going to read verses 3 to 6 again. "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the sea, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pits." Now, I just want to hold that image of Jonah going down to the bottom with seaweed and sinking to the depths in your mind. And let me just read from Psalm 88 and verse 6. "You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves." The similarities to Jonah's prayer are striking, aren't they? But we get that added bit of explanation in the psalm. It's all due to God's wrath. Jonah was suffering in the ocean, sinking to the depths because of God's judgment on him. And it's not hard to see why, is it? He'd rebelled from God absolutely hugely just days earlier. And that rebellion deserved God's righteous judgment. And without Jesus, our rebellion also deserves God's righteous anger. God knows our motives and our inclinations, our thoughts, our actions. He knows it all. And not one of us will come up looking good when we stand before the throne of Jesus. And that includes yours truly. We've all rebelled. And let's be clear, Jonah's experience shows us that God's experience of judgment is not a pleasant experience. You know what I mean? This isn't taking away the TV rights for a teenager or saying to a young child, you can't have any sweets for a week. This was horrific. Jonah, he was sank down to the depths of the mountains. God's judgment is very real and not just some philosophical idea. It was something that Jonah experienced and something that everybody shall experience, whether they believe it or not. So Jonah is in the fish. He prays. He acknowledges God's righteous hand on his life. He even acknowledges God's judgment on his life. God's right to judge us. And the question for us, do we do the same? That if it wasn't for the gift of Jesus and the gift of life and forgiveness that he gives us, our life would also deserve the righteous hand of God's judgment on it. I don't find it easy to talk about this stuff, whether just to a camera or if I was with you all at Woodside. But talk of it I must, we must, because God makes it very clear that his judgment is real. And closing our eyes and pretending that it doesn't exist, well, it doesn't make it go away. And it isn't good for any of us to do that. So the reality of the Lord's judgment. But next, we have the Lord heard Jonah's cry for help. Because Jonah prays, isn't he? And this isn't a pious, considered prayer. This is a gut-wrenching cry. Help me! He was going under, and quickly. You know what I mean? He made the Titanic look positively buoyant. And so Jonah prays. And even more importantly, God answers. He saves Jonah. Let's see how this works on the text. Chapter 2 and verse 2 again. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Can you see how Jonah repeats the same idea twice in this verse? Twice we see Jonah calling to the Lord, and twice we see God hearing or answering. This is Jonah praying, calling out to God in the midst of an awful situation. And he doesn't explicitly say, rescue me at this point. But he's clearly there, isn't it? He's near the depth. He's near death at the depths of the grave. And needs God's help. He cries out. And God hears the prayer. And the fact that God is even listening to Jonah is amazing enough. You know what I mean? Just think of Jonah back in chapter 1. But God does even more than listen. In verse 2, he answered Jonah's prayer. Now, at that point, we don't get told how he answers it, but the author doesn't have to wait long to tell us, does he? Verses 6 and 7. To the roots and the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But for you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. God brought Jonah's life up from the pit. With the big fish, he rescued him from death. And why did God do this? Well, it's there in verse 7, isn't it? Because Jonah asked. I mean, there's many things that we have to ask for, isn't there, in life? You know, if you want a job, you need to ask, usually, by an application form. If you want a passport, you need to ask. If you want to get married, I think the usual way is to ask somebody. I hope to say yes. If kids want an ice cream, the usual way to get one is to say, can I have one, please? I mean, if it goes to the grandparents, it's very likely that it's going to happen. I just learned actually yesterday in my family that between me and Amanda, if the kids want an ice cream, they're more likely to get one if they ask me, apparently. So I'm a bigger soft touch than I thought I was. But we have to ask so often, don't we? Well, Jonah asked, and God heard. In fact, God started acting on the prayer even before Jonah prayed, didn't he? Just think of chapter 1 and verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Even before he prayed, God was acting to rescue Jonah. But Jonah still asked. And it's there in chapter 2 and verse 10. The Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. It's God's command. God saved. And let's just be clear here, a rescue was needed. This wasn't some mock-up of some TV program such as 999. You know what I mean? The biggest dangers on those reconstructions is a presenter's hairdo getting slightly ruffles. Remember back in chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15, and Jonah was chucked into the raging sea. The sailors thought that they were certain that Jonah was going to drown. No one could survive that. This was a very, very real rescue, and God was pulling the strings on the entire operation. Now, you may have not noticed many large fish wandering down the precinct in grace. But let me reassure you, God is still in the saving business. You might think, you know what I mean, I'm not a good swimmer. And I have a fear of water. And the closest I'm ever going to come to drowning is going in the shower, because I don't go any closer than that. I don't have need for a gigantic fish. But then the question becomes, what do we get any saving from? What's our biggest threat? And Jonah's very clear, isn't it? Our biggest threat actually is God's judgments. His real and just judgments. Remember, Jonah deserved to be thrown overboard and much worse. But at the same time, God wanted to desperately save Jonah. He loved him. And so many today believe in God and they seesaw from one extreme to the other. I mean, one extreme is that, God is a God of love and won't want to upset anybody. He just lets us off all our wrongdoing and just brushes it under the carpet. And in this way of thinking, basically our sin and our evil, they just don't matter. They're inconsequential. So that's one extreme. The other extreme, that God, while the focus is all in that God is a God of thunder and judgment, and there's no real hope of mercy. Or if mercy is to be had, we need to try really, really hard. We sort of need to climb the holiness ladder to be good enough to let God in so he doesn't have to judge us. And if we reach the pass mark, well, God might just let us in. Well, as we look at Jonah, God shows us that neither of these extremes are accurate. Yes, judgment is very, very real, fair, and it's coming. But at the same time, God desperately loves a lot of us. And for some crazy reason, like a parent who loves a child who is constantly disobeying them, God goes to extreme measures to save the people of this world. To save the people from this world, from the judgment, from God's own judgment. And that extreme measure ultimately wasn't a whale, was it? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy won for you and me on the cross of Calvary. Mercy that God longs to lavish on us through our heartfelt trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. We have to ask. Jonah asked. And as we sit before God this morning, aware that his judgment is very real, I have to ask the question, have you asked for the salvation that Jesus and our Lord God offers? Because as we come to my third point this morning, Jonah makes it very clear who not to ask. And that is, we do not ask idols. Please look at me at verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I shout with joys of grateful praise, with sacrifice to you, what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. God can save you, but worthless idols are, well, worthless, useless, unable to save, especially when it comes to saving us from God's judgments. At this point, I wonder if Jonah actually had the sailors in mind when he was thinking of these idols. You know what I mean? Remember back in chapter 1 when the storm first hit and the sailors were crying out to any god they could think of. How foolish. How wonderfully actually they came to fear the Lord, didn't they? Or Jonah might have actually had the people of Nineveh in mind. The people that he was running away from, where he should have been going. And thinking actually, you know, those enemies of the Lord's people, they were idol worshippers. And he was supposed to go and speak to them. How foolish they are for worshipping idols when the living God is here. Jonah might have even been speaking to himself as he had tried to disobey God in chapter 1. And he followed the idol of his own heart, his own desires, instead of listening to God. Letting his own desires be the control in his life. And whether those are pretend gods fashioned out of wood or metal, of gods that are just found in our own hearts, they cannot save us. They cannot save us from God's judgments. They just can't. But that includes modern day idols as well. I mentioned the NHS earlier, and I'm very thankful to the Lord for the health provision that the NHS has provided over the last 18 months, but longer than that as well. But as especially during the lockdowns, it nearly got to the point where the NHS was nearly, the language and the way people were talking of it, it was nearly being worshipped. Now, clearly they were doing good stuff, but they can't save us from our biggest threat, the judgment of God. And it's the same with other modern idols as well. A good education, a great job, a happy family, a healthy lifestyle, nice stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong in and of themselves of these things. But they are so easily idolized, aren't they, in our culture? Even if we're honest, that temptation is even found in our own lives. They can so easily become the meaning of life. That they can sort of save us from the meaningless, the despair of why do we even bother? Well, let's be honest, those idols don't even manage to do that. And never mind, save us from our biggest threats. The judgment of God. Do not ask the idols. Instead, verse 9, but I shout with shouts of grateful praise, with sacrifice to you, what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. We call out and hang on to the salvation that the Lord gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a moment, we're actually going to do that with the words of our last hymn. But before we do, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the realness of Jonah's cry for help. What a mess. What a mess his sin had got him into. How it deserved your righteous judgment. But yet he knew you. He knew he could call out to the righteous and perfect holy God and say, save me. That is a wonderful thing, Father. Father, thank you that is so wonderfully true today, that we know how you save us also in the Lord Jesus Christ. But fundamentally, it's still the same, isn't it? We cry out to you, Lord, save us from your judgment, the judgment we deserve. Save us from ourselves and our sin. Save us so we can worship you now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.